Welcome to Spiritually Naked, where physical and non-physical worlds collide, offering a refreshing concoction of optimism and realism. It's time to strip down the barriers of limiting beliefs, to master the art of manifestation and synchronized living. Everything you need to live an inspired, awakened life is within your grasp. Start creating the life you desire today with Spiritually Naked as your guide to simplifying complicated issues for real life change. Now here are your hosts, Steve and Stephanie Banks.
Hello everyone, and thank you for joining us here today on Spiritually Naked. I'm your host, Stephen Banks, and I'm here with my partner and co-host, Stephanie Banks, who in the second portion of our program will channel for us a collective consciousness named Solomon. But first, I'd like to introduce to you our guest that we have with us tonight, Wilbur Allen. And Wilbur is a UFO researcher who had his first experience with extraterrestrials at the age of 5 and had a life full of exposure and communication with alien beings. From childhood to current day, aliens have been visiting him, propelling his drive towards his research and providing him with a rare insight on the material he studies. Welcome to the program, Wilbur. Thank you for being here with us.
Thanks for having me.
I'm really excited about this interview, as I really do find your work to be very important in terms of documenting what's happening and trying to come up with and opening people's minds as far as accepting extraterrestrial presence. I understand you're running research out of your home to document the presence of alien craft. How is it that you're doing that?
Scientific research does involve a pool of analysis, which basically I started to focus on a region of space located 90 degrees above my home, and I would fix my cameras on that position constantly, which I've done every night now since 2012 after doing a show called My Big Redneck Vacation for Country Music Television, which they sent me to Area 51. And in Area 51, what I documented and communicated to while I was in the desert started following me, and it's now these objects that I'm documenting over my home on a nightly basis.
That's really cool. That's so fascinating. And so you're, like, every night you go outside or you look from your window and you see activity?
No, it's a fixed pool of analysis. What I have is I'm 4 blocks from the White House, and I live in a 4-story home, so I'm 2 stories higher than street level. And I take my camera and I put it in a neutral part of my home, which is in the back of the home, which is away from the street and away from lights. And I set it up constantly in a fixed position, meaning that the camera's mounted the same every night. It never deviates. The only deviation would be the variations in the camera, which are, I've got a full-spectrum infrared camera, which is slightly more advanced technologically, per se, than the Hubble telescope. And I also have these hyper full-color night vision cameras, which enable me to film in absolute darkness at 60 frames per second. So I have this various level of technology, which I set up on a nightly basis, and I film the same region of space, so nothing deviates other than the type of camera or the lens, but the area of space that I research constantly stays the same, at least based on the positioning of the camera, because I can't obviously stay in the same region of space as space is constantly in rotation as we are in orbit around the sun. So that variation does indeed deviate, but the camera positioning and the placement of the camera itself never deviates. So my area of research stays relatively constant, and it's in a fixed region of space that I get all of my activity.
Wow, that's pretty awesome. And so is that technology that you're talking about, is that something that you developed, or like how is it that it's so sensitive?
Well, one of the things that's interesting is I looked at what NASA is doing in space. And right now, with the current level of technology that's in orbit on board the International Space Station and with the Hubble telescope, which is currently in orbit, Hubble, for example, is a massive lens that has this great light standard ISO in terms of its overall sensitivity. Well, my infrared camera, which I have because of a recommendation by NASA, which NASA requested infrared data associated to my research that did not have at the time, and I had various cameras which are basically obsolete. So I took an obsolete camera and reassigned it and made it basically prevalent again, reassigned it with its applications forwarded towards full-spectrum infrared. And with the full-spectrum infrared data that I was able to gather, it's 100% consistent with the full color night vision data that I'm able to gather. And it basically boiled into one thing leads to another, but looking at the space station is doing onboard its space station imaging applications, NASA in space is ISO 51200, while my ground-based system started ISO 400,000 and go to ISO 4 million. So there's a big difference in the numbers associated to the technology in which I used to do my research compared to NASA.
Wow, that's... And you developed that technology?
No, if you look at how everything is evolving, you know, Elon Musk has spacecraft that are obviously as advanced, if not more advanced, than anything NASA has in space. So anyone on a private level who has the funds to support it can have technology that's equivalent to, if not more advanced, than what's currently used in space. So that's how this is essentially evolved into the type of technology that I utilize in my research.
Right. I understand.
And so are you finding that we both have questions? We have 25 minutes and there's just so much information that we'd love to be able to draw from you, but... and I know you're really present online, so if anyone has more questions, just feel free to Google Wilbur Allen. But right now, I'm curious, is there any particular, let's say, race of beings that you're noticing more than others, or have you tapped into that? And if you could even go so far as to maybe tell us when you were young, you had your first encounter, was that with a particular race or being?
They were small like children. They had what would commonly be referred to as gray characteristics. They had no facial features at all. They had bug-like faces. They looked like large insects in terms of their facial characteristics, but they had the bodies of children and they were wearing silver spacesuits.
So that would be what people refer to as the small grays, as far as you know?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And have you seen, so in all of your research since then, as an adult or young adult, have you come across...
It got really bizarre in Area 51 while we were filming my Big Redneck Vacation. And I ventured off away from the film crew, which we had a BBC MTV film crew with us. And as the film crew and cast were over towards the perimeter of the main gate of Area 51, I ventured off into the desert by myself, and I imaged this anomaly, which was in space with two of them that just materialized, and as they materialized, they were slithering like snakes. They had slight characteristics unlike anything I'd ever seen before, but as they materialized, one of them sent a message to me telepathically, telling me to pack my gear and leave immediately, which I complied immediately, and within 1 minute, getting back to my crew was being arrested by Area 51 security personnel, which had them face down in the dirt with their heads being aimed at with M16 rifles, execution style. So it wasn't something that was we were out there playing around with, and these extraterrestrials that I've imaged in this sequence of images which showed this object slithering like a snake essentially warned me to leave. And I left, taking their warning, but it got into something even more interesting because as I got back to my hotel about an hour later, and I knew I was being followed, I set my camera up in the courtyard of this hotel, and I said, okay, show yourself to me. And the minute I said that, the objects materialized directly in front of me.
Wow.
On video. So I got everything totally documented, proving without a doubt that whatever this object was that warned me of the security personnel from Area 51 was indeed following me, and it's now imaged nightly over my home.
Wow, that's really cool. And was it, fit the description of a small gray?
The craft itself, the craft that communicated with me, was a luminous object that had the qualities and definition that at one point it looked like a sphere, and at another point it looked like a cylinder, like a cigar, so it was able to morph from one structural configuration to another. But in terms of its pilot, whoever communicated to me, they didn't show themselves physically. They just let themselves be known telepathically, and that they did warn me indeed that there was impending danger from Area 51 security.
Wow, that's incredible. So are they working with you, generally speaking, throughout your life? Like, do you get communications from them in this way often, or was it just that one incident where they were protecting you?
Constantly like that. For example, I would ask for various levels of presentation, which I would say, for example, show me how you appear, show me how you disappear, show me what you look like when you fly by. And I get all of those examples, and I have all of those examples in the comparative analysis that show exactly the same object doing the things that I would explain as materializing, dematerializing, flying by, various sizes, various altitudes, various velocities, various states of existence. They would be partially materialized, they would be solid, they would be invisible, and I would still be able to detect their cloaking field and cloaking technology, in which the distortions associated to them would still be visible, but you wouldn't see the object itself, but you'd know there's something there. But I've got all of the levels of their existence documented, including the sounds associated to them.
Well, so it sounds to me like you have some sort of an agreement with them, whether you remember making that or not, that they obviously want to be known, at least to a certain degree, and you're sort of a conduit for the rest of us to let that presence be known.
Well, you know, it's interesting. When I first contact as a child, they implanted me, and they put something in me, and whatever that something was, caused me to vomit nightly for about 6 or 7 years, and my body was constantly trying to reject whatever it was. And the military doctors at the time didn't have technology like CAT scan and things like that to look deeply into the person's body, and that object that they implanted into me is now fixed as part of my central nervous system, and it's acting as a transponder. And it's interesting that I can send a thought and the objects will materialize, or they'll send me a thought and I film and they'll materialize exactly when I hit start on my cameras. It's like a two-way communication, and I have no problems with that.
And have you ever had your hand x-rayed, or like now with modern technology, have you ever had that checked into?
That can't happen because it's now embedded into my central nervous system. And if I go, for example, into a CAT scan, the magnetism associated to the device, which they use magnetism to feel through your body. If this object has a level of metal associated to it that can be affected by magnetism, it will come out of me. It'll be pulled out by this intense magnet that they use to image you. Right. So I would not want that to happen to me, since it's part of my central nervous system. Why would I want it renewed?
Yeah, no, exactly. And really, why does it matter? You know it's there, and it seems like
that. Yeah, I know it's there, so it needs to be researched now, years after the fact.
Yeah.
And the proof would be in the documentation and the materials that I'm presenting, and seeing how I have more data than NASA, that would be obvious that there must be an extraterrestrial connection in which I'm working with.
Oh, absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah, that's how it sounds to me. And I do understand through my experience in life is that with the extraterrestrials and the agreements that we make, it is that way. And I do believe that their presence is trying to get the population more comfortable with the idea before they truly present themselves in a full way. Is that where you feel we're going?
They're doing some really interesting stuff. For example, Scott Kelly in CBS Evening News. Scott Kelly is a good friend of mine. I've worked with him on some news assignments. And on one assignment on CBS Evening News, this anomaly appeared, and it was stationary in a 45-degree angle sitting over by the U.S. Capitol building dome, and it just stayed there. And as the newscast is going on, this object simply vanished. And it's interesting that it was 2 days later that I got that very same object walk by using my camera at 60 frames per second. And as I slowed this video down considerably, I could see that whatever this object was, the immensity of its size in relative terms based on the level of technology that I'm using, it was basically 4 or 5 aircraft carriers in length in terms of its immensity. And as it flew by, I can't believe that if anyone was looking at it, they wouldn't be able to see it because it would be impossible at the velocity in which it flew by. But I was able to capture it with the camera technology that I utilize right now.
Right, I see what you're saying. So the idea with the technology you're using is you're able to capture objects that are flying by faster and you can slow it down?
Because of the camera sensitivity themselves.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
When you start talking about photography, and especially photography at night when there's no light present, we're talking spatial cinematography, for example, the technology utilized on board the space station. The space station is getting the same events that I'm getting at 51,000 ISO, and I'm getting these events at 400,000 ISO at 60 frames per second, which is a much higher frame rate, a much higher resolution. And the forensic data, when you compare the two in terms of a comparative analysis, it shows exactly what's happening. And these objects are utilizing spatial portals, which NASA did confirm do exist. And these spatial portals are not necessarily relative or limited to the Bermuda or Alaska triangles, and that these spatial portals can exist anywhere, at any level, any place.
Right, yeah, and I am pretty certain that they do, too. And we've talked to Solomon about that based on a friend of ours having a sighting behind her place, and it was like this big sort of almost holographic blue dome that she saw, and it was described to us by Solomon as a portal, actually what he called it was a transportation hub for extraterrestrial beings. And that doesn't necessarily mean that because it's there now means that it's going to be there for, you know, all of time. I think they do move around, and I'm pretty certain that Solomon said that they do move around.
I can't remember if he did or not. But I'm just curious about
I would have to agree on that, because when I take all of the data that I gather in my pool of analysis, you know, we're talking about everything I'm showing you here comes from one fixed region of space. And if I plot all the objects that materialize and fly by and all the objects that dematerialize as they are flying into the frame, and I plot the regions in which they materialize and the regions in which they dematerialize, I have a general location of the spatial anomalies associated with the portals in which they're entering and exiting this realm.
Right.
Just based on plotting the data. So I know where the spatial anomalies are in my fixed region of space.
So in other words, just in layman's term, meaning that they're all originating from one sort of central location in space, but then diversifying around the planet?
What happened on board Mir in 1990, Chip Thorne documented a spatial anomaly at the North and South Pole associated to Earth. And at the North Pole of Earth and at the South Pole of Earth are our magnetic caps, our magnetic the magnetic element associated to the planet.
Right.
But when you look at a sphere or a magnet that spins, and when a magnet spins, the theory behind energy in terms of the way energy is generated in a generator is the spinning magnet generates this energy which goes through the coils and it generates electricity. Well, we have this spinning core at the top and the spinning core at the bottom, and Earth is spinning at a revolution where we're not spinning slowly in space, we're spinning quite fast. But as the Earth is spinning, so is the magnetic field, and as the magnetic field is spinning, it is facilitating a spatial wormhole. And that's where the North Pole and South Pole, where Chip Thorne located wormholes at North and South Pole. What I believe aliens have done is they've created a 4G network like the Verizon cell phone network or whoever you use as a cell phone network. They have these networks of stations, of antennas, that allow the cell phones to work in any part of the country. Well, the aliens erected connected to the wormhole, which allows them to go to any part of the United States that they want or any part of the world that they want based on the location of the North Pole or the South Pole wormholes.
Well, yeah, and I can, that for whatever reason, that just feels all right.
Like using the electromagnetic grid of the planet in order to match frequencies.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's what Solomon said, that they're matching certain points of frequency, which makes it easier for them to travel back and forth, which is called the multidimensional transportation hub, was how it was referred to us. But yeah, it's interesting that...
Not just one of them, it's multiple highways associated to this. We're talking about a network of hubs.
Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you look at most sightings show, in terms of, say, if you're a radar technician at some airport, and you're watching the radar, and then all of a sudden you see this object appear, and then it flies through, and then it disappears, then why was it not detected prior to it appearing on radar? It was not detectable because those portals that are associated to that area can't be detected by a radar or limited band technology that we're utilizing here on Earth. And that these extraterrestrials have matched, per se, just the frequency associated to every part of Earth. And they can say, for example, like in Sedona, which is exactly like Mars, which is completely unique in terms of its overall geographic structure, they can say, okay, we can go into Sedona, and it does go into Sedona, through a portal that's in the courtyard of the Sedona Real Hotel. And it's very strange that it was materialized there, because at the base of that hotel is this field of orange dirt that's highly magnetic. So we know without a doubt that everything could be geologically located, and I know that this portal that's above my home is fixed in terms of its overall location and in terms of the way the events take place from what I document.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what I'm understanding, is that they are fixed within a certain vibrational frequency within the grid. So the portal that's above your home, have you captured that literally as an anomaly within anything you're seeing with your technology?
No, what I'm capturing are the objects coming out of it.
Okay.
And you could see, and you see them either incrementally, in most cases it's incremental manifestation into this realm, but in some cases it's like you open the door and you step through it, and you're stepping through it solid. So I'm getting the solid object, and if you look at it frame by frame, you see it move into this realm and stays consistently the same in terms of its overall luminous quality and structural quality associated to it as it's materializing. But in most of the samples I'm getting incremental manifestation into this realm, meaning you see it structurally there, but it's not solid. It doesn't become solid until it moves into the realm.
Into a different realm.
Into our airspace.
Right. Into
it's
our
not
airspace.
Not solid until it's here.
Oh, like so you feel that, or you see it, it's more like an energy frequency before it comes into our atmosphere?
You see the structure, the shape, in terms of its shape, but you don't see it. It's not there. You just see the shape materialize. And then as it moves into the airspace, you see the shape manifest in terms of it becomes more cohesive, more consistent.
Right.
And then it becomes a solid object.
So do you think that has to do with the rate at which they're vibrating, and they're just changing their frequency to adapt to our environment so that we can...
It could be them adjusting to us. But in some cases, they're already there and they manifest into the airspace. So they didn't adjust. They didn't just manifest into it. They were there and they just went into the gate and left the gate. While in some cases, they manifest into it. They materialize into it and fly through incrementally.
I love it.
So I wonder, so why then?
Like in Star Trek, when the person dematerializes and it rematerializes,
yeah.
It's incremental. Incrementally, and then they recombine themselves incrementally.
Well, and couldn't we really say the same thing about ourselves when we come into being?
Yes.
So it's the same, it could very well be the same process. Talking about electric.
It could be the exact same process, exactly.
There's something else for you to study now. Not that you don't have your plate full. Wow, it's like, it's fascinating. And I know that there's so many people on the planet, at least, you know, that I know of. And when you see the different groups online that are just fascinated by it. And I think, like Steve mentioned earlier, and you probably have something to say about this too, it just feels like people are becoming more and more open to the whole idea and less fearful of it. Do you agree?
Well, I would agree to it, but in most cases, they're still naive to the fact that they've been indoctrinated in films like Star Wars. And, you know, they think everything's going to look like the Millennium Falcon. And, you know, they're not open to the fact that these extraterrestrials are using more advanced objects, plasma-based spacecraft. At least that's what Dr. Mitchell and I were researching before Dr. Mitchell expired. But in what he experienced on the surface of the moon, essentially was confirmed by the physical evidence I was presenting him, that I was showing him these objects materializing into our airspace. The astronauts who did step forth on the moon experienced the very same thing. But they were not necessarily limited to talk about it. But, you know, once you have a sample that's consistent with what you experienced, then it does give you some leeway in terms of talking.
Right, exactly. And that's what I find fascinating, is that you have that, you're developing that, and you're probably gaining quite a bit more respect as each day goes by from the people that are the biggest skeptics, but also have are very influential in terms of, I guess, getting the word out there to the general public.
Mm-hmm. So
exactly. You know, you beat them down with a plethora of evidence. You know, it would be one thing if I was showing you something and I only had one example. But I'm showing you something, and I've got 900 examples of it. Now, what can you say to that?
Exactly.
Well, not much. That's the best part, is that you really can. It's really, at this point, becoming undisputable, I would say.
Basically, what I do is, you know, not unless you know something I don't do, basically you should just sit down and shut up, because there's nothing you can say.
The proof.
The facts are right there.
Yeah.
Just remain silent, because there are people who will still try to throw in their 2 cents worth, and it's basically 2 cents worth, but it's not 2 cents of nothing, because you're speaking from conjecture. You can't tell me what I'm imaging, because you're not extraterrestrial, nor are you experiencing these things. Unless you have a sample that's consistent with mine, don't say anything.
Yeah, it's just subjective opinion, basically.
Absolutely, it's conjecture.
So this information that you're recording, you're obviously recording all the time. You have all this data, you have all this information, you have all these evidented files. Are you compiling them into anything to present to the community?
I constantly share my data with my associates at NASA.
And are they trying to get it out there at all, or are they just basically within themselves watching it?
Because, as I mentioned earlier, the technology that I'm utilizing only because of suggestion by NASA, and that I don't think they anticipated that it would happen, per se, like at the level it did happen, but it did happen. But what's interesting is that the information is consistent, not necessarily, it is consistent overall in terms of consistent in infrared, it's consistent in full color night vision, it's consistent in daylight. It's consistent because there are other people, other sources, like the Soviet Space Agency, who in 1989 mysteriously lost 2 Martian probes, and the 2 Martian probes were destroyed by this anomaly, which was imaged by Phobos 2. And the anomaly that was imaged by Phobos 2 was this very long band of light object, same object that I'm imaging here over my home on a nightly basis, the same object that I initially documented from Area 51. And it shows this object sitting next to the Phobos moon itself, and it was as big as the moon in terms of its overall length. The very next image showed the object destroying the satellite, the probe.
Wow.
So we know that there's a very strong possibility that these objects and their occupants could indeed be hostile.
Right.
Or
they're just trying to block out information. Yeah, it's so hard to know.
Pardon me? They wanted to send a message.
Right.
Well, that makes sense for sure.
But do you think it could be that they sensed hostility from us and they're just leaving?
I don't know if I would feel hostile if some object was taking a picture of me, but then too, if I didn't know what that object was and it was taking a picture of me and I didn't know where the source of that data was going, I'd want to destroy it.
Mm-hmm. It sounds an awful lot like human behavior.
Exactly.
I don't know what that is. Blow it up.
Responded. Yeah, it responded.
It did. And well, it's all so fascinating, Wilbur, and I could talk to you and listen to what you found and your information for hours, but we're out of time for this portion of the program. Stay tuned and we'll be back with Solomon and Wilbur.
It is our pleasure to be here with you again in this time in your space, and we love to have the opportunity to bring science together with spirituality, and here we are sitting in this realm, in this opportunity to share with you our views on subjects that are important to you. We come to you with a mutual understanding of love and respect as we communicate with one another. We come to you as requested. We do not impose ourselves upon you, nor do the beings from the other side, just in case you are wondering. We would like to offer you this opportunity to put forth any questions or queries or bring up discussions that are of interest to you at this time in regards to your passions. So please proceed.
I can start by asking if he knows why they picked me to do this.
There was an agreement made prior to this lifetime and prior to many other lifetimes. You have been doing this for a long, long time. This is part of who you are. You are part of the species that entered into your body when you were younger. Although this was only your first recollection, it was not the first time that you had this sort of interaction. It happened prior to becoming a fetus in the womb. This was part of your expression here on Earth to bring forth a particular degree of awareness to your human friends, to your collective family on Earth, to help integrate the relationship between your human family and your extraterrestrial lineage. Does this make sense?
Why is the portal above my home?
For many reasons, one being that you are there. Your drive, your will, your receptiveness to this idea of bringing forth the awareness of these friends of yours, of your human families, your passionate expression is being played out in a number of different ways. One of which is from the comfort of your own home. Should you move, this portal would move with you. Or at least one of them. It is to enable you to have comfort while continuing your research. It is a very simple fact. There is nothing that scientific about this other than your relationship to these beings and your cooperative efforts. There is also what would be known as a elevated magnetic attraction, if this makes sense in this terminology, between the Earth and the, let's say, we don't like to use the word ships because they don't like to use the word ships, but they're transportation vehicles that come into your atmosphere. There is a greater degree of receptiveness to the Earth in certain places around your planet. These do move, however, and there are a variety of different reasons why they do.
I'm actually lost here for anything to ask because I wouldn't know where to go. It's so vast.
your friends that you are exploring this lifetime with, that you are working in conjunction with, would like to take this opportunity to thank you for your cooperation, to thank you for their trust in them. They would like to express their gratitude for your understanding of them on a level that is driving you and propelling you to continue your research efforts, to show to your fellow humans on the planet that these beings are here for a divine purpose, that these beings are here to be integrated into the planet in such a way that cooperation between these beings is feasible. There is still a certain degree of uncertainty between those coming from other realms into yours and between the human race to them that creates some static, that creates some friction still. But this is beginning to dissipate more and more and more. And your friends would like to take this opportunity to thank you for contributing to this lessening degree of static friction. Yes?
You know, I documented something that needed explanation on it, and there's a date associated to this one particular event, and I documented this thing 8/13/2013, 8/13/2014, 8/13/2015, 8/13/2016. Is that object in a time warp? Because everything I documented every year is exactly the same.
To a certain degree, we would suggest that you heighten your awareness around this date as it comes up in the future, as in 2017, 2018, and particularly around the year of 2021. This will be a significant for you to, for significant year for you to document and for you to increase your awareness through your various technologies around this particular day. We are not at liberty to go into a greater degree of explanation, for this is part of your agreement with them, that you will be in tune with their, let's say, experience on this particular day. It is, however, very significant in your research project. It is very significant in your communications with them. There will be a heightened state of communicative receptivity between you and other beings on the planet with these beings. It is an opportunity to enhance your communication with them, to increase your knowledge of them on this day, as it has been in the past.
That's pretty strange. I have to say that most of the things that I've documented, it always amazed me that I could take something from this year and then take last year and put it on top of it on two layers, and it would look exactly the same. And no one could ever explain to me how something could repeat and then consider it to be a natural phenomenon, which it is not.
There is the idea, in a very esoteric sense, as a scientist and other scientists around the world, there may be some room for debate on this, but we are here to explain the idea of all things happening at once. From a dimension outside your own, this idea becomes more prevalent and can be, we'll use the word injected, although this is not quite the right terminology we are looking for, into your time-space reality.
Actually, the term is correct, because from what I gather, it seemed to be exactly the same. It almost looked as if it was injected. Exactly. Every year it's the same. Almost to the point where it would be impossible to gauge from year to year what event took place, what year. It all looks like the
there will be, and you will discover this, there will be slight differentiations in your understanding of those, let's say, snapshots. Yes? Your translation of them will begin to expand, and you will begin to see slight, very slight differentiations in those years. This is an opportunity for you to begin to decode what you are experiencing. Therefore, if we were to explain to you in the fullness of this explanation, we would be taking away from you that which you have chosen to do. Does this make sense?
It makes a lot of sense.
So continue to have fun with this. Continue to explore this idea and look forward to the next opportunity to see this injected snapshot. Again, not the best terminology, but one that we feel you can relate to. We will, however, give you one small hint that we have been informed is acceptable to you, your all-encompassing you, that when you experience this interaction, what you are witnessing is a conglomeration of other beings coming together, not just one particular, let's say, species at a time. There is a mixed bag of beings that are coming together in this moment. Does this excite you?
Oh, I knew that already.
Yes.
I knew that when they materialized me into the mothership. When I saw them, there's all kinds of variations of beings there.
Yes. There is a misconception that one particular species will come in one particular transportation vehicle, and another one will come in another, and another one will come in another. But there is very much an interdimensional existence that is happening outside of your planet, outside of your atmosphere. The idea of borders and restrictions and limitations dissipates at this realm. There is still, however, the idea of different planets with different beings. Yet once there is an exchange outside of those particular, let's just use the word atmospheres around the planets, again, not necessarily the right terminology, but one that creates a picture in the mind's eye. When in, let's say, free space, there is an understanding of unity, of cooperative efforts, of collaboration. Does this make sense?
It makes sense, yes.
There are times when you experience this in the experience that you are having now as a human being. In other words, in your dreamlike states, you have experienced this. You go to this. You experience this. The scientific mind in you resists this a little bit. However, there's a part of you that understands and feels what we are talking about here. You work on a much different level from this space of which we are talking about, this free space. The idea of taking a long time to get anywhere is confined to the idea of your planet. In other words, you can be somewhere else in a split second, and oftentimes you do. Sometimes in the middle of a day, sometimes without interrupting your natural working day, without interrupting what you are actually doing. Not necessarily having the memory of this experience, yet it is important for us to note that you do. Your communications, your efforts, your collaboration is working far beyond what you are experiencing from the idea of your physical mind, yes?
Yeah.
In other words, you are a very busy fellow.
Say at least.
Yes. again, we are receiving the signal to express to you once again, taking the opportunity once again to express to you from your friends the idea of appreciation, the idea of deep gratitude, the idea of continuing your research is aiding and assisting far beyond what one could imagine with the human mind.
Yes.
We would like to also thank you for having this conversation with us, for bringing forth your personal explorations and allowing us to contribute in the way that we are. We would like to conclude this session for now.
May I ask one question, Solomon, please?
Yes.
Regarding a spectacle that Wilbur had seen, had witnessed in outer space with regards to a satellite being destroyed by an alien species. And the debate was whether it was to be viewed as hostile. Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
There was a energetic exchange that exceeded the ability for the material object to continue to exist as a physical object. This is all that we can say at this time.
So the intention wasn't necessarily to destroy it?
No. The exchange of energetic forces was simply too intense for a brief moment in time, a miscalculation, let's say.
An oops?
Not necessarily an oops, no. But this will come out further in time, with further research. Mm-hmm. This may just lead you in the direction of where you would like to proceed with your research in this area. We would like to thank you once again for this opportunity, and we look forward to our next exchange.
Well, that was interesting. Yeah.
That was a lot of energy running through me that time.
Yeah.
I'm not a person that asks questions. That's the other thing too. You know, I'm usually asked questions and I can respond, but then to ask a question in return is a little different for me. It's almost like I'm Solomon in a way, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's weird. It's very weird. It's like, I don't know what to say.
I know, it's kind of like that. I just know for myself, I always feel quite an energy flow, but not quite that intense. Like my whole body is just vibrating right now. But there was a lot of Wes, particularly when Solomon was saying that they were trying to express to you from your quote-unquote friends their gratitude, that was where just this surge, and twice they did that to me twice.
Yeah, they did.
The surge of energy that they just needed you, like they just wanted and needed you to feel and hear.
Yeah, it was interesting that you would say that, because you know, it's I sometimes you look for those acknowledgments when you start asking of these things, and they do respond in a way. You have to look at how they respond. Determine is indeed the answer that you're looking for. And in most cases, when I start talking about these things and start showing these things to most people, it becomes a matter of are they able to absorb what they're seeing? Because in most cases, it's such a level of disbelief that, and they just don't want to believe it, no matter how much of it you show them. So, you know, I've been several places where, for example, which, you know, is kind of strange that these people would say a certain thing like this to me, but I showed the material to this guy that just happens to have been a Muslim, and he started saying that I was a jinn. And I was like, wait a minute.
That you were a witch?
Has to do with me showing you a jinn, like an evil spirit, or a person that, like a witch doctor, or, you know,
right.
It was interesting that I would make that statement like that, but it wasn't one that was, I had to look at it, because what was said wasn't show them the truth of the matter and they fear it, no matter how much of it you show them, they're still not going to believe it.
It's true. Yeah, they have blinders on, and it's all about perspective. And if you're choosing to take that perspective, that's what you're going to see.
And really, in all aspects of life, what we're finding is that, well, and is a fact in my own life, is that your belief systems definitely dictate your experience. So if you believe something strongly,
exactly,
regardless of the information coming from outside, you either aren't listening or you're not hearing it, or it's just impossible for you to be open to it based on the belief system. And like you say, fear is such a strong overriding emotion that even if they want to believe, still within them, they have to deal with that fearful aspect first.
Well, yes, it's misinterpretation. You know, it becomes, instead of becoming aliens, it becomes demons. And now, wait a minute.
I know, that's funny.
Is that indeed what we're talking about here? Because, you know, from what I see and what I read in the Bible, I mean, people living to be 200 and 300 years old doesn't sound like a person that has the same atomic structure as I do. And therefore, they have to be extraterrestrial. And everything associated with them would have to be extraterrestrial. So we're reading about a close encounter with aliens.
Well, and I think doesn't our cellular structure change like all the time anyways? We're literally a different person now than we were when we were 10 years old. So does that make us extraterrestrial?
Oh, yeah. Well, not necessarily, but what I'm saying is that if we are reflections of our experiences, then I know I have to say that I can't be human because everything that I'm experiencing is extraterrestrial.
Right, right, yeah. Well, we now know that you are definitely, probably just as much extraterrestrial as you are human.
Exactly, that's my point. You know, it's like I've sat here. I said to you I had an alien encounter. That there's an alien object in me. Look at all this alien shit that I got.
Yeah,
look at it.
Yeah.
It's like, how else does one, other than me telling you the truth that I have little green buddies? And that, you know, they show me stuff and let me document it. And here it is.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
I mean, look at my background. I worked in the White House with four U.S. presidents on my resume. I said, what is my next step? What is my next move? And I've done everything thus far that they've asked me to do. And there it is. Here it is. Here's the data. And I presented it to the right people, NASA. NASA's accepted me as a UFO researcher. How many people can say that they can walk into NASA?
Exactly, right? Well, you definitely...
At the top.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have a mystery to solve when it comes to... what is the date? Is it August the 13th?
8/13, yeah, it's weird as shit. Like, I've got videos. When you line them up, other than there's a difference in the lens, it's the exact... How is that possible?
It's going to be interesting to see on August 13th, 2021, if you actually do come to a higher perspective realization about what's going on.
Well,
it'll
be accumulating.
I want to see what it looks like this year with the new technology that I got.
Well,
nice.
And I'm running this array that's like, well, it's interesting because I'm able to see it at various levels, inclusive non-visible light levels like infrared, ultraviolet, and X-ray. And, you know, it's different when you have that ability and you see it at that level. It presents more of what's there. And what I see is absolutely extraordinary. It's nothing like we've got at all.
That's amazing. I'm so interested in everything that you're presenting. I'm definitely going to browse your website a little more and start following what you're doing and what you're uncovering. I didn't know that all this information was out there until recently. So I know I'm going to have a lot of fun looking at it.
Well, and I want to just express our gratitude too for all the work that you're doing and for sharing it and coming on to our show and going out on a limb with talking to Solomon and, you know, just being here with us today. It's been a wonderful experience.
Thank you.
It's been amazing having you on, Wilbur, and I really thank you. Would you like to let everyone know where they can find your information and your site and anything you'd like to put out there?
Yeah, my website is ufodc.com. It is an active website. It has 64,000 samples. If you click on a picture, it opens a chapter. It has an immense amount of data. It is forensically authenticated. It is based on a comparative analysis. It is authenticated by NASA. And they can go to my YouTube channel, which is Rover Allen on YouTube. And that's about the extent of it.
Well, thanks again, Wilbur, for being here with us tonight. And to all our listeners out there, thank you for joining us. Tune in 2 weeks from tonight as we will have with us another amazing guest named Mada Dalian. For those of you who would like to learn more about Stephanie or Solomon or book a group or private Solomon session, go to stephanie-banks.com. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel at solomonlive.com. Thanks again, everyone, and have a fantastic week.